America has announced immediate visa restrictions on all individuals responsible for undermining democracy in Ghana ahead of December's make or break elections. The policy was announced by the Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, on the State Department website and is already generating interest across the political divide. My colleague MFA Power is with me in the studio to go through the specifics of what we are learning tonight. Is there any background to this?
Well, so the United States says it is committed to supporting and advancing democracy in Ghana and around the world. And the Department of State is announcing a new visa restriction policy today that will restrict U.S. visas for any individual responsible for undermining democracy in Ghana. The policy, we are told, will take effect in advance of Ghana's presidential and parliamentary elections scheduled to take place December 7, 2024.
So they're not waiting for the election. This is taking effect now in advance of the elections itself.
Exactly.
But the key question listening to this, many will be asking, does it affect me, for example? Who is this targeted at? Is it all Ghanaians applying for visas to travel to the U.S.?
So according to that statement put out by Antony Blinken, this visa restriction policy would apply only to specific individuals who undermine democracy and is not directed at the Ghanaian people nor the government of Ghana. Ghana has achieved 3 decades of democratic elections and the peaceful transfer of power between parties, a record to be proud of and a model to cherish. So the United States' readiness to impose visa restrictions if circumstances warrant is an example of our support for the aspirations of all Ghanaians for a peaceful, transparent and credible electoral process that reflects the will of the people. So it's not everybody, it's not the government of Ghana, but any individual that seeks to undermine the democracy of Ghana, this policy affects.
And we'll be hearing from the political parties pretty shortly, because as you know, and also hearing from the Media Foundation for West Africa, they have been tracking over the last few elections the use of intemperate language that tend to undermine democracy because of its potential to fuel chaos. And we need to place this in the context of what we've seen, the violence we've seen over the weekend, MFA Powell, where we've seen that in Agona West, one person has been shot, is currently in critical condition already. We've seen the political undertones of the violence in Boku, for example. So you cannot detach this coming today, because this was issued today.
Yes.
On the back of all that we witnessed already.
That we've seen already. And it talks about the fact that it's not just the lead up, they follow up as well. And then during the election as well. And then after the election, anybody that seeks to undermine it will be affected.
Under what authorities are the U.S. implementing this visa restriction?
They are talking about pursuant to Section 212A-3C of the Immigration and Nationality Act, and allows the Department of State to implement visa restrictions for individuals believed to be responsible for or complicit in undermining democracy in Ghana, including through the manipulation or rigging of the electoral process, the use of violence to intimidate, coerce, or prevent people from exercising their rights to freedoms of association and peaceful assembly, the use of measures designed to intimidate, coerce, or prevent political party representatives, voters, or members of civil society, or the media from voicing or disseminating their views or engaging in any other activity designed to improperly influence the conduct or outcome of an election.
This is sweeping, huh?
Exactly. And it affects everybody at least. And it talks about certain family members of such persons may also be subject to these restrictions. So not just that individual that is undermining the democracy of this country or preventing the media or preventing voters and preventing civil society from executing their work. Their family members also will be affected.
Hmm. And this is taking effect in advance of the elections.
Exactly.
And if you're just joining us, a major announcement by the United States of America under the hand of the Secretary of State himself, Antony Blinken, issued today, imposing visa restrictions on all individuals undermining Ghana's democracy. And they're just telling us, as MFI has been explaining, that it does not only include individuals found to have done this.
Exactly. Certain members of their family will also be subjected to this particular restriction.
And in terms of the scope, it's pretty wide. It's not just use of intemperate language. It's everything from use of violence to intimidate, coerce, prevent people from exercising their rights to freedom of association and peaceful assembly, the use of measures designed to intimidate, coerce, and prevent political party representatives, voters, or members of civil society, or the media from voicing or disseminating their views, even include activities of civil society.
Exactly. And that's what it tells you. So at least if you are also engaging in any other activity designed to improperly influence the conduct or the outcome of that election, and also if you intend to rig, manipulation or rigging of the electoral process and the use of violence to intimidate, as you've been talking about. So very widespread, very wide scope in terms of Section 212A, 3C of the Immigration and Nationality Act that allows them to implement this. They maintain that it is not targeted at the government of Ghana or the people of Ghana, but individuals who seek to undermine the democracy of this country in the lead up to the election, during the election, and after the election.
MFA, thank you very much. We're getting some reaction to this tonight. I want to bring in Suleiman Abraham, Executive Director of the Media Foundation for West Africa. The media is mentioned there, and I know they've been doing the monitoring of the use of intemperate language. He joins us on the line. Also joining me, Samuel Kudeta-Blackwa, who you know has been a key voice on the NDC side in Parliament as far as the Foreign Affairs is concerned. He's an MP for North Tong. He's currently the chair of the Government Assurances Committee in the House. Also joins me right now. We'll be speaking to the MPP also. The Peace Council is also weighing in on what has happened tonight. This announcement, major one by the U.S. State Department. We'll also be hearing from the Center for Democratic Development on this particular development too. But Suleiman Abraham, give me your reaction to this.
Well, Evans, I think this is a very, very welcome development. And this is so because there are a lot of people who think that they can act anyhow, behave anyhow, because either they will power or they will influence. And in the event they don't get what they want to achieve and the nation is thrown into turbulence or chaos, they can quickly have a safe haven either in the U.S. or other Western countries. And so this is a very, very significant development. Should send a clear warning to persons who think that, oh, I already have a U.S. visa or I have a house in the U.S. Should anything happen, I can quickly fly my children and my family away, to be aware that things would not remain the same. I would rather wish that other countries, other Western countries, would take the same step. And this is also important for them because certainly through our partnerships and cooperation, they spend quite a lot of resources in ensuring that, you know, our democracy remains stable and the people of our country, you know, continue to have the peace that is necessary for development and for their well-being. And so if you are investing that much in terms of partnerships and cooperation, why would you want to see one person, you know, throw or a few people throw the state into anarchy? And certainly, like you said, we've been witnessing people saying all manner of things, people threatening. Only this morning, I heard somebody say, look, if this and this happens, if you see somebody on a motorbike and you think they are suspicious, you know, and they start to behave in a way that is suspicious, you can do whatever that you want, threatening to basically banish somebody from a particular region of this country. And the person speaks as if he is not even the president of Ghana. It's as if he owns Ghana. And I believe these are the kinds of people who think that, look, I will do whatever I want. If things go haywire, I'll run away from this country. And so, like I said, it would be great if other Western countries that would often serve as potential safe haven for such people would take a similar step and say, look, if there's chaos, we'll take note of you, and there's no way we're going to allow you into our country. And so this is a very, very positive development in my view.
And however, a lot of the determination appears pretty subjective, but the U.S. must make a decision. For example, the use of measures designed to intimidate, coerce, prevent political party representatives, voters, or members of civil society or the media from voicing or disseminating their views. That needs to be determined, and that is subject to a bit of subjectivity there, does it not? I mean, how do you even go about determining that somebody has used some measure to intimidate a civil society organization from voicing or disseminating their views?
No, Evans, I think that if you look around the world in terms of free speech, the U.S. perhaps has one of the very highest standards in terms of what is allowed, political rhetoric and all of that. And therefore, I don't think it is going to be, oh, because somebody said just something and there is chaos, they are going to say, okay, you are going to be a victim of this particular policy. I think the U.S., as I said, has a very high threshold when it comes to free speech, you know, liberties, the First Amendment guarantees, all that. And again, even if it is going to be subjective, it is U.S., and U.S. belong to the American people, and they would have the option to decide what they think is right, a decision to make or otherwise. In any case, if they feel you will be a threat, because if you did ABC in your country, as a result of which we strongly believe contributed to a certain, you know, kind of condition that we don't want to have in the U.S., why would they have you there? So it's just like applying for our regular visas to the U.S. When you go there, the consular officer interviews you. Basically, it is at his or her discretion in deciding whether to grant you the visa or not to grant you the visa. And you cannot blame them. It is their country. If you love, you may choose to stay in your country or visit another country. And so in this case, it is their decision to make. And as I said, I don't think that they are going to be basing it on any flimsy things, because the U.S. itself has a very high bar in terms of, you know, political expression. And therefore, it's not just because, you know, you were so hard in defending your political position, and then there is violence, and then they blame you as the one. But certainly, as I said, there are certain things that are a no-no. But we are in a country where today people feel the more they are vile, the more they spew a lot of acidic language, caustic language, that makes them so popular in their political parties. So if you listen to some of the radios, and there are people we continue to name, and when you name them, they even use that as their claim to fame. That, oh, you know, for the last three consecutive reports, Media Foundation has put me out there as somebody who is abusive. But we don't care. We continue to defend our party, and so on and so forth. I think it is to such people that this warning must go to.
Well, will you be sharing the findings with the U.S. Embassy now that you know they will be sanctioning people?
Well, our reports are public. They are out there. And I'm sure it is up to them to decide where they want to look for. To get the information that they need to help them make decisions. Our reports are public. It's online on our website. We share that we issue them, you know, as and when we put out a report. And just as they do this regular human rights reports where they pick, you know, information from multiple sources, I wouldn't be surprised that they certainly would be interested in the kind of reports that we are putting out there. And so, it will be up to them, but I believe that certainly what we are doing will be of interest to them in terms of the language monitoring that we are doing.
Thank you very much, Suleiman Ibrahim. Samakujita Blakwa is on with me right now. Also joining me right now is Dr. Kojo Asante. He's the Director of Policy and Engagement with the CDD. Joins me now. Mr. Kujita Blakwa, thank you very much for staying on with me. What's your reaction, first and foremost, to the announcement by Antony Blinken?
Good evening, Evans. Good evening to the panel. Good evening to all listeners of Joy. This is a most welcome development. This is a development which will put every actor in our democratic space on their toes. Let's remember that every sovereign nation has the right to determine who enters their country, who they grant visas to. And so this is a tool that has been found to work elsewhere. Those who followed the Nigerian elections last year, this tool by the Americans did help. Many of the governance watchers, analysts who have really paid critical attention to this tool that the U.S. deployed say that it did help a great deal. And remember that in the Nigerian case, the Americans continue to monitor even after the elections, and indeed after the elections, they imposed visa restrictions on a number of people who had fomented trouble, who had used violence, who attempted to subvert the will of the Nigerian people. And the verdict out there is that it has been a very helpful tool. So, look, this is very significant. It is positive. And we all know that if you look at the traveling pattern of African politicians, including Ghanaian politicians, the U.S. remains a very favorable destination, apart from investments, apart from going there on holidays, even medical tourism by a lot of these African politicians. The United States is their preferred destination. So to that extent, the Americans have a very, very persuasive force. And don't forget that the U.S. and other countries have been criticized that often they are not proactive, they do not act swiftly, they wait for violence to erupt, and then they try to impose sanctions when the harm has been caused. So in recent years, they have tended to, you know, serve notice and to be more proactive and to ensure that they are not accused of, you know, sitting by and allowing a conflagration to erupt. When the house is up in flames, then they now want to act.
Before they act. And I read on John Mahama's page that he apparently met and had discussions with 24 members of the diplomatic community. And this meeting was hosted by the U.S. Ambassador, Virginia Palmer. And it provided, quote, an opportunity to present the NDC's concerns about our electoral process, end quote. Is it a coincidence that I'm reading in this State Department policy announcement to restrict, to place visa restrictions on those who undermine democracy, that one of the things that they will be sanctioning is the undermining of our democracy, including through manipulation or rigging of the electoral process? Is it a coincidence, or is partly because of the concerns that you, your party, may have put before the U.S. government in this meeting?
I think that if we are being fair to the fact, the Americans have had this law for a considerable number of time. And before this meeting that our flag bearer, inshallah, the incoming president of Ghana, His Excellency John Dramani Mahama, held with Ambassador Virginia Palmer and other members of the diplomatic corps, the Americans had used this just next door in Nigeria last year, and indeed followed up with real sanctions, and it did work. So to be fair to the Americans, I don't think that they have been persuaded or pushed by any political party. This is a tool in their toolkit that they deploy, particularly when they are watching an election closely and when they have interest in that country. And as the Secretary of State, Blinken, said, Ghana and U.S. are longstanding allies. Their mutual interests. Remember that there are lots of U.S. investments here. We are trying to revive the MCC account, and there are many partnerships and bilateral arrangements which ought to be preserved. If this country goes up in flames, it's not only Ghanaians, ordinary citizens who suffer, but U.S. interests will also suffer. And to the extent that there are times that U.S. and other Western allies have been criticized, that, for example, when African heads of state engage in undemocratic tendencies, when they try to, you know, and actually proceed to alter their constitutions and all of that, mutilate their constitutions, they don't act until there is a coup d'etat, and then they then impose sanctions on the coupies. So this is a preemptive move. They are observing closely. And you see, when notice is served to everybody that you are being watched, and I'm sure that other Western nations and other countries will follow suit in the coming days, this serves us as a clear deterrent. Those who think that they can, you know, set up Ghana in flames, foment trouble here, and then they and their family members will just, you know, leave and go enjoy, you know, a safe haven in the United States of America, which is a preferred destination for a lot of African politicians. This serves as notice that you will not be entertained, you will not be allowed entry, you and your family members. So even if they are reckless politicians, what this does is that their family members, the politically exposed persons close to these politicians, will now have to call them to order, will now have to advise them. Because look, the rhetoric, the incendiary language, the dark maneuverings, you know, it's there for everybody to see.
And now
it's clear that there will be consequences.
Yeah, and as a politician,
sanitize the space.
And as a politician yourself, does a move like this put you in check?
Definitely. Because you see, when you get on this list, it's remember that it's not only the United States that will be watching. When you get on the U.S. list, if you observe what happened, particularly to the Nigerians, there are other countries, because the U.S. will share this information with their partners. And it really can impact on other countries granting you, you know, visas to allow you to escape the mess that you have created. So it's going to certainly put every politician in check, even those who may pretend publicly that they are not worried. I tell you, I mean, they will be concerned about this, because it doesn't even help your political image. It does not help, you know, your career, and it has far-reaching consequences, even in terms of international appointments, in terms of international invitations, exposures, whether you would even be entertained. You can become a pariah where nobody will want to have anything to do with you. And I mean, what kind of politician will you be? You will be blacklisted, you will be damned and doomed. So this is really, really a good call. It's most welcome. I know some people may try to raise issues about sovereignty and why is Uncle Sam, you know, taking the big stick and trying to position themselves as the policeman of the world when they also have their own democratic challenges, particularly January 6th, which has not been resolved, Trump's role and all of that. But you see, the point has to be made that no matter what you say about this statement, the Americans still reserve the right. Like we in Ghana, we reserve the right. On a daily basis, we are denying people visas to Ghana. We have the right to determine who enters our space. And we should grant the Americans that as well. And the Americans are only telling us that now, in this election year, this crucial election, they are going to also be watching the space. And they are going to now look at those who are, you know, fomenting trouble, seeking to undermine democracy, seeking to rig elections, seeking to engage in conflict, in all kinds of arm twisting to subvert the will of the people, that there will be consequences. So I don't think that those who may want to mount the high horse and engage in some Pan-African lectures about how America may be trying to dictate to us will convince people like me, really.
Yeah,
I think we need this. We need this. The timing is excellent, and it will help to really improve our democratic ethos.
Samuel Kudibaka, thank you very much. And I want to bring in Dr. Kojo Asante now, Director of Policy Engagement and Partnership at the CDD. And Doc, yes, it's the U.S. government that is imposing these visa restrictions. It is your right, but do they have the moral authority? This is a country that we saw plunge itself into post-election violence in the United States of America, now preaching to us why there is the need now to maintain our own internal security before, during, and after the elections. In fact, the man who the authorities in the U.S. accuse of fomenting and facilitating the chaos and the post-election violence is actually a presidential candidate with a real chance of winning the elections and returning to the White House. Hey, I may have lost Dr. Santa there. Hello, Doc. Okay, I'll bring in Ryan Evans Demarco, who is the Director of Research and Elections with the MPP. Hello, Evans.
Hello, Evans.
Great to have you, Mr. Demarco. I've just heard from Samokujita Blackwell. What's the take from the MPP on this?
Well, thank you very much for having me, and good evening to your listeners. I think for us as New Patriotic Party, this is a good call. And for me, it must not really, it shouldn't take the USA to let people in this industry behave responsibly. But it's a good call. You are aware that the presidential candidate of the party, His Excellency Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia, has indicated his preparedness to sign a peace pact before, during, and after the general election. I think that for us as New Patriotic Party, you will never be caught in this web. We've always preached to our people to behave responsibly, conduct themselves in a manner That is in line with our constitution, in line with the rules of the game, i.e. the CIs that are supposed to be used for the conduct of our elections. We cannot have any other country apart from Ghana. Therefore, the onus is on all of us to be responsible to manage our country and manage our democracy. Elections will come and go. And Evans, you've known the New Patriotic Party. Right from 1992, we've been part in every general election, apart from the 92 parliamentary that we boycotted with other minority parties. We've made strong submission and substantial submissions to redefine our democratic principles. Where we disagree, the New Patriotic Party has gone to court. We just don't jump into the street to create confusion. And so I think that the call from the USA is in the right direction. And so I'll continue to say that for us, we will conduct ourselves in a manner that will promote our multi-party democracy.
You've seen this
in the conduct of our presidential candidate, Dr. Mahamudu Bawumia.
In that same spirit, we've seen the reports from Aguna West where there have been some clashes that has led to one person fighting for his life as we speak. How is the party handling that?
Well, you need to find out from the Ghana Police Service what their investigation so far indicates. It will be difficult for you to sit here and draw conclusions. So for me, I'd rather let the Ghana Police Service conduct the necessary investigation to ensure that whoever is part of this criminal act is arrested and brought to book. That will be my take on that.
Thank you very much, Nemako. And that's is Evans Nemako. He is the Director of Research and Elections with the MPP. Earlier, I lost Dr. Kojo Pumpuni Asante, Director of Policy, Engagements and Partnership. Doc, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Great to have you. I was asking you earlier, does the US have the moral authority to be imposing this restriction on us? Of course, it's your right to do so. But considering that post the 2020 elections, they were plunging into post-election violence, the man who they accuse of fomenting the violence, he is on the ballot now and with a real chance of becoming the next president of the United States. Do they have the moral authority?
Well, Evans, I mean, the good thing that has happened is that since that generous incident and since he lost the election, the American system has, you know, plunged into action, and there has been various levels of accountability that he has been, you know, had to face. And that's what a democratic system is supposed to, you know, do. And, you know, sometimes we don't even get that here. So, you know, yes, we can look at the failings of, you know, of the U.S., but at least we have to recognize that at least at a certain level, we are able to see how those democratic systems also fight back when you know, they are being undermined. And, you know, we have to recognize that. So we have to take, for me, the positives that it offers. And America is still a very important international player. And in the context of Ghana, where our political elites, you know, a lot of them have these opportunities, you know, to live there and travel there, some have their monies there, have their families there. There has to be ways in which we can hold them accountable if locally their influence, you know, is overwhelms us and we are not able to hold them accountable locally when we are coming to elections.
But you think it will make much of a difference considering that this is just the U.S., right? They can go to Europe. They can go anywhere else that they want. They have a lot of money to do so.
Well, I think that we have seen that, and I think this is not the first time we have seen this tool used by the U.S., but in the past, I think either in 2016 or 2020, other states also came in, for example, in Europe and so on and so forth. So let's see what happens. But I think that is a first step. That is still, for me, a big stick that the U.S. have put down, and it's something that should be welcome. At the end, we have to hold ourselves accountable. We have to make sure we are enforcing our laws and to be vigilant. I think that's the only way we are going to promote a peaceful environment in this place. But when those, we have to put all the measures in place to restrain people from causing harm. The elections are supposed to be peaceful. We have to allow the will of the people to prevail. And that is what this is all meant to promote. And I think we welcome it.
And it has been suggested tonight in the conversation we've been having that for this to be very effective, other Western nations must join and issue the same sort of policy. That then becomes one that blocks out every route out of this country if you set this country ablaze.
Well, hopefully we don't even get to that. But as I said, this has happened in the past, as I try to recall, either in 2016, where others also issued similar warnings, about visa restrictions and other restrictions that were going to be imposed on individuals. And remember, the key word is individuals, because this is personal accountability. Often when these things happen,
and their families,
people
in this
hide
case,
behind party.
In this case, their families also.
Yes, exactly. So that, when they are making these things and causing harm to other people's families and so on, they should also think about the impact on their own families.
Thank you very much. That's Dr. Kudu Asante there with the CDD. We'll hear from the Peace Council pretty shortly. They've been working very, very hard in the back of the violence we've seen in Agona West, but also in Boku with all the political undertones. They've actually been barred from entering Boku already because of the tensions there. This must come to them as music to their ears. George Amo, Executive Secretary of the National Peace Council, is joining us right now. Professor Vladimir Ntudanso is also joining me right now. He's the Dean of the Ghana Armed Forces Command and Staff College and also an international relations expert. It is to him I go next. And Prof, to that question though, is the U.S. being the big brother wielding a stick when they have their own issues with their own democracy that plunge into political violence post the 2020 elections here?
Thank you for having me, Evans. Positive as this may sound, though, I think we need to be very careful about what we accept and what we don't accept. Yes, the U.S. is trying to be the peace gendarme where democracies are concerned, but no two democracies.